Export-import participants. International commerce takes place between an exporter, the seller, and an importer, the buyer or customer. A number of intermediaries may perform one or more specialized services before the items sold in one country arrive at the customer's dock in another. Elsewhere, we cover the growing use of logistics specialists to carry out specific operations for a client company, 3PLs, or to coordinate the entire logistics function, 4PLs. The use of specialized logistics intermediaries is even more common in the export-import business than in domestic supply chains. There are simply many more issues to contemplate when you send a product across borders into countries with different rules, a different currency, and a different language. And so it may be cost-effective for a company sending or receiving an international shipment to pay considerable fees or commissions for these services. We'll explore the roles of several types of intermediaries who assist in getting cargo across borders and through customs, freight forwarders, non-vessel operating common carriers, consolidators, customs house brokers, export management and export trading companies, shipping associations, ship brokers and ship agents, and export packing companies. After that, there are flowcharts showing how the parties may interact and a summary of the types. Freight forwarders. The freight forwarder, foreign freight forwarder, or just plain forwarder, is a company that arranges transportation for commercial cargo. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a freight forwarder as the middleman between the carrier and the organization shipping the product. A freight forwarder often combines smaller shipments to take advantage of lower bulk costs. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a foreign freight forwarder as an entity that picks up goods at the production site and coordinates transport to the foreign customer's location. Foreign freight forwarders are not themselves carriers, nor do they buy and resell space on carriers. They are, instead, independent agents. In the United States, for example, they are regulated by the Federal Maritime Commission. A great majority of international shippers use forwarders. Small companies use them because they can't afford to maintain a staff with the expertise required to handle foreign shipping, and because one of the forwarder's functions is to consolidate smaller shipments into larger ones that qualify for discounts. But even large companies use forwarders because they can benefit from the expertise of such specialists. Forwarders may perform many different functions in the course of moving goods across international borders, including quoting carrier rates, arranging charters or booking vessel space, preparing and presenting documents, obtaining insurance, handling payments, translating, tracing and expediting shipments, arranging inland transportation. Although forwarders in the United States must be licensed by the government, they are not subject to certification requirements. However, certification is available for ocean forwarders from the U.S. National Customs Brokers and Forwarders Association, which will designate someone as a certified ocean forwarder based upon a combination of experience and passing a certification exam. Air freight forwarders may be either independent contractors or affiliated with a single air carrier. They require neither licensing nor certification. However, they may obtain certification from the relevant country's regulatory body. In the U.S., this is the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, FAA. In that jurisdiction, clients generally prefer to work only with FAA-certified air freight forwarders. A major source of competition for air freight forwarders comes from the carriers themselves, who can work directly with shippers. Companies like FedEx and UPS Air also compete with forwarders for small shipments. Forwarders derive income from a combination of fees, markups, and commissions from carriers. Non-vessel operating common carriers. The non-vessel operating common carrier, NVOCC, buys space on inland carriers and resells it to shippers at a marked-up price. NVOCCs handle only the part of the shipment traveling from a port to the importer's dock or from an exporter's dock to a port. NVOCCs originated in the United States in the 1970s as a cost-effective alternative to the carriers. At the time, trains and trucks often returned to port empty after unloading cargo at inland destinations and charged the shipper for both halves of the round trip, even though the shipper made no money on the turnaround. The NVOCCs were able to solve the problem by finding cargo for the return trips to port. Using their own containers for the inland journey, NVOCCs scout around for port-bound shipments to consolidate into those same containers for the trip back to port. They also provide container service for trips to and from foreign ports. Both shippers and carriers benefit from the intermediary work of the NVOCCs. The shippers receive reduced rates. The carriers gain access to a wider market. NVOCCs can be distinguished from forwarders in three ways. NVOCCs actually buy and resell space on carriers. Forwarders do not. NVOCCs perform the physical work of consolidating, loading, and unloading cargo. Forwarders do not provide labor. NVOCCs can handle inland freight in many cases, such as shipping by a motor freight carrier from Charlotte, North Carolina to Hawaii. A freight forwarder could perform those inland functions for the NVOCC, and this could very well be a division of the freight line or their contractor. The NVOCC can arrange for transport, but these are common carriers that do not operate the vessels by which the ocean transportation is provided and are considered shippers in their relationship with an ocean common carrier. Some NVOCCs are affiliated with freight forwarders. Some are independent and are therefore able to work with a variety of forwarders. The independent NVOCCs can offer lower rates than those affiliated with a forwarder, but the affiliated NVOCC and forwarder can offer door-to-door service. Though they neither own nor operate vessels, NVOCCs are regulated in the U.S. by the Federal Maritime Commission, which requires them to publish rates and not discriminate in hiring. However, they are also subject to different regulations from carriers, and this may put them at a disadvantage. Under the Ocean Shipping and Reform Act, OSRA, of 1998, for instance, NVOCCs are forbidden to enter into service agreements with shippers, while carriers are allowed to do so. Consolidators. The consolidator combines small shipments into larger ones to qualify for full vehicle discounts. Generally, this service is provided to fill containers for intermodal shipment, such as turnarounds carrying cargo between an inland warehouse and a port. Consolidators are distinct from NVOCCs, but they may work under them. A consolidator that is not affiliated with an NVOCC contracts with a forwarder or a carrier to arrange the transportation. Customs house brokers. Customs house brokers assist importers by moving shipments through customs. Their job is to ensure that all documentation required to pass customs is complete and accurate. These days, the information required to clear customs is electronic and paperless, such as the automated broker interface system in the United States and the pre-arrival review system in Canada. Replacing paperwork with electronic data transfer has sped up the process of getting cargo through customs. The customs house broker pays all import duties under a power of attorney from the importer. Liability for any unpaid duties lies with the importer, not the broker. Export management companies and export trading companies. When companies want to expand from domestic to foreign markets, they may turn for assistance to foreign trade specialists in either export management companies, EMCs, or export trading companies, ETCs, rather than adding internal expertise. While there may be some overlap in the types of services offered by EMCs and ETCs, there is a distinct line between their approaches. The EMC is generally not an exporter itself, but rather a consultant to the exporters that hire it. The ETC, on the other hand, is itself an exporter. A common reason to hire an EMC is to acquire representation in a particular market where the EMC has special knowledge and connections. By working with an EMC, the exporter gains access to current information about the preferences of consumers in that market and about local customs and government regulations. Knowledge of local conditions enables an EMC to help the exporter avoid offending consumers or officials by inadvertent misinterpretations of the culture or the politics of the importer's country. Finally, EMCs often cultivate friendly relationships with host governments, and this can help ease the exporter's goods through customs. EMCs may also buy the exporter's goods and resell them in the foreign market, in the manner of an ETC, but generally they act as a company's long-term consulting partner, not as a buyer of its products. An ETC, by contrast, looks for companies making goods that it wants to buy and resell in a foreign market. Its functions, therefore, may include locating importers to buy the goods, overseeing export arrangements, preparing and presenting documentation, arranging transportation overseas and inland, and complying with regulations. More expansively structured ETCs are known as general trading companies. These entities may comprise banks, steamship lines, warehouses, insurance services, a communications network, and the sales force. Japan's success in international trade has been facilitated by such general trading companies, known in Japan as Sogoshosha. These enormous conglomerates are some of the world's highest revenue generators, including familiar names such as Mitsui and Mitsubishi. With offices in over 100 countries, the Sogoshosha handle more than three-fifths of Japan's imports and over one-third of its exports. Other countries with very large general trading companies include Germany, South Korea, China, and the Netherlands. Shipping associations. Before deregulation, ocean liners were required to publish their rates. Smaller shippers seeing the rate schedules could ask for similar deals. Since deregulation, carriers and the larger shippers have been able to sign confidential rate agreements. In response, smaller shippers have formed shipping associations, usually nonprofit organizations, to negotiate with carriers for rate discounts on the same terms as larger shipping companies. Ship brokers and ship agents. Ship brokers and ship agents assist exporters with the details of arranging ocean transport. A ship broker is an independent contractor that brings exporters together with ship operators that have appropriate vessels available to carry the shipper's freight. With detailed knowledge of carrier schedules, the broker can help the exporter find a ship that will be in port when its cargo is ready to travel. A ship agent works for the carrier rather than being an independent contractor. When a ship is headed for port, the ship agent arranges for its arrival, berthing, and clearance. While the ship is in port, the agent coordinates unloading, loading, and fee payment. Shippers contact ship agents for information about the arrival and availability of ships. Export packing companies. Export packing companies provide the specialized packaging services required for cargo that may have to undergo long journeys and pass customs inspections in another country. The packing company can choose packaging materials that provide adequate protection with the least bulk and weight. Export-import participant flows and summary. Exhibit 5-26 illustrates two paths that cargo might travel to get from an exporter to an importer. A, the simplest possible journey, and B, a journey aided by a full complement of intermediaries. Exhibit 5-26. Export-import flowcharts. In sum, the participants in export-import trade have the features and advantages described in Exhibit 5-27.